Great question, Brian. It's real serious.
Oh, I was waiting for like the intro. I wasn't gonna do
Jesus
that.
Jesus Christ. You made it sound like it was gonna happen right away. You're like, I got
like
a really
ready.
Important.
I'm like, okay, I'm ready here.
That's why.
Okay.
I thought there was gonna be some banter, and like, no, it's just like, let's go.
Fine. I'll ask right now.
Everybody, and welcome to Can We Save the Cat, an entertainment and writer's room podcast where we take an idea for a TV show or a movie and develop it into the next big thing. And at the end of the day, we'll decide whether we want to save it or scratch it. I am Danny Hanks, writer and director.
I am Brian Hayes, writer and actor.
I'm Justin Eugene, writer and producer.
And today we have a very special guest with us, a filmmaker in Brooklyn, New York, whose horror films have screened around the world, Sydney Clara Brofman. Welcome, Sydney.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Hello.
Welcome.
I know Sydney from some meetups in the city, and I will say her short films have been the things of my nightmares. She literally made a short film, a very, very short film about a straw going through somebody's eye. And it has haunted me to this day. So yeah, she'll really screw you up.
That makes me so happy. That's my dream, is to give people phobias. That's the whole point. So I'm so happy.
I kind of want to watch the short film now.
It's 15 seconds, so you, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, it did really well in a 20-second shorts festival. I feel like I've been meaning to ask you, how much did it cost to film that?
So we shot that on an iPhone. I would say the most money I spent was on her outfit, because I was particular about what I wanted her to look like and what she was wearing. Like, since I knew I was going to have a shot of her feet, the shoes were so important to me. Those were like, I think, I don't know, like $50 shoes. And I was like, I need these shoes. And then aside from that, we like built out the eye prosthetic with just like straight latex. So it was not a lot. I strive to make very cheap, very fun films that don't take a lot of time to shoot, because then you're not like asking people to, you know, take up a lot of time. We shot this one in a couple hours. My other two like 1 minute short films, I think, were like, I don't know, maybe 3 hours max. And then after we shoot, then it's all me. So then I get to do all the fun editing, post and color grading. And then, you know, that takes maybe a week or two, but I just love to kind of crank them out, do them as fast as possible.
Sydney, do you like anything more than ranch dressing?
Yeah, I mean, I like a lot of things more than ranch dressing. But I think ranch dressing is up there. It's hard to be better than ranch. That's really when you know it's special.
So I went and watched your short film, horrifying, by the way, so thanks for that. And in the process, saw you on Instagram with a giant bottle of ranch dressing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to go into that?
Or? Absolutely. So, I mean, that's a normal day for me. No. So
you like ranch dressing? What's wrong with that, bro? Why are you attacking?
I'm not attacking. I'm simply wanting.
Do you want to explain
curiosity.
Those 8 bottles?
Yeah. So I made a film about ranch dressing, and about a week before it was going to be released on Alter, the distribution platform, a friend of mine sent me for my birthday. It was my birthday, and then it was like conveniently right around then. He had someone postmate 8 bottles of ranch dressing to my house.
That's amazing.
So he was like, I need you to be home at this time. You're going to be accepting a package. I didn't know what it was going to be. This lovely woman comes up the stairs. She hands me this grocery bag, and I'm like, thank you so much. Like, have a great day. I look inside the bag, and it's all of these bottles of ranch dressing. So first of all, I wonder what was going through her head about like this weird person ordered all of this ranch dressing and made me go get it for her, like grab all these different brands, bring them to her house, yeah. like immediately, like ASAP. It was hilarious.
Oh my gosh.
But so I did like a completely serious taste test as like a promo for the movie, which I thought was really funny and it was a great idea. And I was so glad that he did that.
What was the best?
So Hidden Valley is the best. Hands down, no matter what, that's like the okay. only ranch that you should.
Okay. Hands down, Brian, don't even do the weird stuff where you back away from the cameras so people can see you.
The best is Hidden Valley?
I mean, it's a classic for a reason.
It is.
I don't know, because I saw Ken's in there.
Ken's was the number two. Ken's was number two. Ken's was really sweet, which I enjoyed. Mm. A lot of the other ones were really sour because they had a bit too much like lemon juice in them for me, yeah. which I hated. It had like that tang and that vinegar that I just don't want.
Welcome to our new podcast about ranch.
Yeah. I mean, you could talk about it forever.
Oh my gosh.
And I guess the following photo of you like licking the gigantic bottle of Hidden Valley makes sense now because it won.
Yeah.
It won your blind taste test. Okay. Well, if anybody wants to follow along with Sydney's ranch taste testing extravaganza or just watch her short film, you can follow her like I did at Crooklyn Cat. It's Brooklyn, but with a C.
Mm-hmm. That's me. Most of that is selfies and my pictures of my cat who definitely walked past the camera.
I saw that.
My film stuff is Squib Films, so a squib like the explosion, and then Tiny Terrors Films as well. Those are more film specific.
Awesome.
Wow, deep dive into your life right now.
Yeah, Sydney. So what were your parents like?
Oh my gosh. Sydney, what have you been writing recently?
Yeah, well, actually, so I've been working on a series, I have the pilot, about a Jewish Dybbuk, which is kind of like a possessive spirit that will take over someone's life in a way that is pretty similar to a lot of other possession films. But I've been working on this as a kind of dark comedy show where the twist is that the person kind of has a better life once they get possessed. It's about bringing out more of your internal desires and learning more about yourself and more about the demon instead of just being, you know, oh no, there's a demon possessing me. We have to get rid of it. Exorcise the demon. It's more of like, right. if I really did the things that I wanted to do with my life, what would happen? It's been really fun. I've been having a lot of fun kind of like playing around with that concept and also kind of taking a deep dive into, you know, Jewish culture that I haven't really explored that much. I myself am Jewish, so it's really cool to kind of like bring elements of that into my work, which I will make the broad statement that everything I ever make is about me.
Love that. Sweet. I love how like 20 years from now you're going to make something that is not about you, and then we're all going to be like, it's about Sydney.
It's always about me. It's true.
Well, Sydney, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
Yeah, so I'm a lot of places because I do a lot of things, but Squib Films is the main one, and then the kind of branch off of that is Tiny Terrors Films, and those are all those really short films kind of about phobias that are a lot of fun. I have recently started streaming horror games on Twitch, which is a lot of fun, and that's SailorSpooky.tv. And then I actually have a podcast with a couple friends myself where we talk about some horror movies. There's three of us, so we each pick a movie that's kind of in a vibe and then talk about it and kind of relate it to the other two movies, and we kind of go from there. That is called Talky Horror, and you can find that on the social medias as well. I think that's it. I post pictures of my cat on his Instagram, but you know, you can find that. You'll find that. That's out there.
He's the most important account.
He is, yeah. He does my social media.
It's the true
for
content.
Me, so. Yeah.
Danny, do you have a Radic account yet?
No. I mean, I want to do. Okay.
Oh.
So there is a store near me that is a tiny dollhouse shop that makes tiny things. Like
yes.
tiny.
I'm already here with
Oreo
you.
Oreo pack mm-hmm. or tiny bottle of wine. And I want to buy a bunch of things and then have my rats hold them.
Totally fair.
I love it.
White woman Instagram.
Oh my God.
That is all I could think of.
Not false. Okay.
Does anyone
Justin,
want?
You want to start us off?
Oh yeah, absolutely. The guy has nothing. So my pitch is about a tattoo artist surviving the world after the pandemic, going through the process of like reopening, having to go to private homes, and kind of like just the weird experiences of like the relationships. Danny, why are you judging me so hard right now? I'm so close to your mic. Let me have this, okay?
Wait, is it a tattoo artist that like does in-home tattooing?
She's been having to do that because of the pandemic, and now she's slowly starting to reopen. So those were weird relationships she's created, like those one-on-one interactions with different types of people, because obviously there are so many people that get tattoos, not just like certain people. Mm-hmm. And Danny's judgment has just like really thrown me off. It's like so she's sweating so bad right now. It's like scaring me.
Here's the thing. Typically, Justin says, I don't have a pitch. I don't have anything. And then comes in and he has this amazing pitch. And we're like, oh my God, how did you bring that out of nowhere? But truly this time I'm like, Justin, this sucks. This is the worst pitch that you've ever brought to this podcast.
Oh my God.
It's not the worst pitch ever in the podcast, but maybe my worst. So anyways, tattoo artists, move on.
Brian, take us away.
Okay, so we just heard a really bad pitch from Justin. Are you prepared for it to get worse? Well,
last week I pitched an Oscar-worthy one and they said no to it because it was too good.
It's too
well,
dark.
I think it's about to get worse.
Okay.
Okay.
So has anybody seen the classic 90s family comedy, Baby's Day Out? That's the exact expression that you should have. It's a horrible movie, okay?
Okay.
Basically, the idea is, here, I'm just going to IMDb
the baby
this.
Escapes
okay.
and just explores the world and like almost dies like 3,000 times.
Okay.
Okay. The tagline reads, after three kidnappers lose the baby they have kidnapped, both the cops and kidnappers go looking for the baby. And the poster is this baby on like one of those giant crane balls. And it's just like riding along because that's what would happen, right? The baby would be in like a
right.
construction site and the beam would just happen to move at the right time to where
it keeps walking. Mr. Magoo style, yeah.
Mr. Magoo style, yeah. Okay. So, but it's a baby. Okay. I want to reboot this. In a hard R version where the baby gets kidnapped by like drug dealers and criminals and like accidentally knocks over a bunch of heroin needles and it falls into a guy while he's sleeping. So then he gets like all jacked up and stuff.
Oh my God.
And like the baby Danny's accidentally turns on a fan that blows cocaine over everybody. And it's just like the worst.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I need like Kevin Smith to produce it and then I'm there.
That was so awful but so good.
I think it'd be hilarious.
I would hate it but people would love it.
Guys, we're gonna have the weirdest pitches today because to continue off of adult baby movie. So let me take you on a journey.
Oh God.
There is a condition where you don't believe that one of your limbs belongs to you, like where your brain doesn't register that your limb belongs to you.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these people
like a masseuse with one arm?
No. Some of these people pursue amputations. Now, a while back, there was a case, I believe, in Germany where it was two people who had decided to meet up off of Craigslist. And one was looking to eat human flesh, and one was looking to be eaten.
Yes. I love this story.
Yes.
So wait, he wanted to be eaten to death?
Well, in the story, it was a very particular part of the body that was removed and eaten.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So he didn't go into it thinking like, I want you to eat me until I die.
No, I think so. But going back to all of this.
Okay.
My concept is Silence of the Lambs as a rom-com.
I'm in.
Explain how it would work.
So, literally, like, imagine somebody who has this condition where they don't like one of their limbs. It's going to be super dark. Everybody's going to hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, they have this condition where, like, they don't like one of their legs, and this other person is a fetishist cannibal or whatever, and, like, has always wanted to eat human flesh, and they like find each other and they have this romantic thing where it's like, oh, well, how are you going to eat me and all of this stuff and like the taboo, and they're flirting around it and all of these issues come up. So, yeah, you know, Silence of the Lambs as a rom-com.
Okay.
I love this.
Feels like it's fleshed out. I'm in.
All right, Sydney, bring us home.
So this is so funny because I also had a rom-com idea. So a lot of the things that I think of are based off of like stuff that I experience in my life. And I had this idea because I have a storage unit and I put most of my like art direction props in there. So it's filled with a lot of like fake limbs, a lot of empty chemical containers, fake weapons, all that type of stuff, right? So I thought it would be really funny if I kept meeting someone at my storage unit, because if you go to the same storage unit all the time, you may live in the same area. It's a place where you could potentially see the same person more than once. And if they were to ever see what was in my storage unit, it would be questionable. But then I would just be like, well, I do a lot of art direction. These are all film props, right? It's great. So imagine a serial killer posing as an art director who keeps all of their materials in a storage unit. And they keep meeting this person at the storage unit, and it's sort of like a meet cute where I would like to see this told. So the style I'm picturing is a combination of Mr. Right and The Voices, where it's like very stylistic dark comedy. And in my head, I'm like, okay, I need Aubrey Plaza to be the serial killer, and I need Anna Kendrick to be the meet cute girl. And I was thinking it could be a like a series or a film, but what I was thinking, it would be really cool to see it told He Loves Me, Loves Me Not style, which is like, it's like a French film with Audrey Tautou, where basically half the story is told from one person's perspective and half the story is told from the other person's perspective. So the first half, I would love to see the Anna Kendrick meeting this adorable woman at her storage unit. She's an art director. She's so great. They go on dates. It's wonderful. And the second half is going to be told from the Aubrey Plaza serial killer perspective, where she's a serial killer who probably does get work as an art director because it's a great cover. And she keeps going on these dates with this person to find out how much she knows, to lure her in. And that's the meet cute romantic comedy of a serial killing art director.
I love it. It reminds me of End of the Fucking World.
That's like the fourth time you've
referenced that. You reference that all the time. And then every time she's like, it's not even very good.
Season 2 sucked. I fucking hated it. It was okay, like,
oh my god.
I don't like god. The color, and it should have been a movie. But sounds
like everything reminds
world.
Me of it.
Fact.
It's a good anyway, reference.
You reference that people more than it. I reference Community.
Oh. That's a gosh. Hard it's close. It's close.
All right.
I like
shall
it.
We vote in the same
you have
order?
Me you have me at Aubrey Plaza though.
Is that your vote?
Oh yeah, I vote for Sydney. The rest of you guys were garbage.
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm not gonna lie. I take it back. Danny's I really liked.
I do like Danny's.
Look, I'm just curious if you guys fully understood. Okay, so a baby is walking along wait, this like gigantic so, right. meth lab.
Brian, I think yours is a good idea. I just wouldn't watch it.
It's like Keanu. It's like the Jordan Peele, Keegan-Michael Key Keanu, but with a baby.
Also, not as straight up comedy. Like, I want it to be more kind of crazy. I can't believe this is happening. Than like, haha! Mm-hmm. I can't believe this is happening. So,
okay. Next vote.
Ryan, vote.
You had me at Anna Kendrick, so I'm going.
Oh my god!
Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm also going to go with Sydney. Aubrey Plaza, Anna Kendrick. Love
what'd
it.
She have you at? You fucking copycat.
Which one? Which one of the
serial
girls?
Killer.
Serial killer? Okay. I think that was the killer. First word I said.
No, you were talking about your storage unit, and I was like, oh, this makes a lot of sense. And then you said serial killer, and I was like,
yeah.
Yes. And I remember growing up, my parents always had a storage unit, and they ran a pathology lab. And whenever people were around, it was like, have to be a little bit discreet about, you know, what's in the storage unit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm down for storage unit.
Hell yeah.
And now the most fun part of the episode is where you have to tell us who your favorite person is.
I mean, I have to say Danny because I know that story already and I love that story.
So Danny is loved again. Congratulations.
Ooh. Silence of the Lambs is a rom-com. Here we go.
I can't believe I'm wasting my ideas on this. My goodness.
All right. So this, I'm assuming, is a feature we're doing?
Well, so here's the thing. I think it could be a feature or a series. And when I was thinking of series, the only thing that I was like referencing, I was like, well, I loved how Russian Doll went halfway through and told her story and then pivoted and told the guy's story. So I was like, it could work as like a 30-minute horror, you know, dark comedy thing. It could be a series.
It has a Killing Eve kind of feel. But for me, Killing Eve was like, it should have only been two seasons. Like they went,
it did get a little, yeah. Even where it is now, I'm like mad about it. Yeah.
So it kind of reminds me of You just a little bit, which also I didn't watch the second season of because felt like it should have been a limited series, right? It felt like it should have been one season. So I mean, I think a season.
I love limited series. Two. I'm like, stop doing more than one season of things. This is like Maniac. This year, I'm like, this is perfect. Beautiful. Wrap it with a bow. We're done.
Okay. So. Two things.
Mm-hmm.
One, how soon do we know that she's a serial killer? And two, is she only dating this person to kill them?
So the way that I kind of liked telling the story in two parts was that you don't know that she's a serial killer until we see her perspective. So I want to start with Anna Kendrick's perspective, where we think that everything's great. And there's like some of these red flags, but you're like, she's Aubrey Plaza. Like, it's just, that's just who she is. Like, that's her personality. She's kind of edgy. You know, she makes all these excuses for why there's all this weird stuff in her storage unit. And you're like, yeah, okay, I believe that. And then I guess I don't know. I like the idea that she's only dating her to kill her because that to me is going to have a more interesting ending than if they have like a happily ever after.
I think if it's a movie, you can go split down the way half and half. I feel like as a series, you want to at least in the pilot have it split half and half in the pilot just because then you get the premise right off the bat. Because I feel like if it's a movie, you already have people trapped in the theater. If it's a series, you need to get people to watch the second episode. And if it just seems like a standard rom-com, some people might not watch it. So you want to catch them.
Well, maybe you could also maybe just like foreshadow what she does, like one little scene or something to start it where like it's curious what she's doing. And then those first couple of episodes, you're trying to figure out like what is her deal? Because like there's definitely something, and like we notice as an audience, but obviously Anna Kendrick's character does not.
I would not do the first episode half and half. So first off, I would lean a movie. If you did it, I would still do the first episode fully on Anna Kendrick's character. Literally, like maybe they run into each other once or twice throughout the episode. So we establish Aubrey Plaza as a character. And maybe we also establish Anna Kendrick going on dates and being unsuccessful in relationships. And she sees her and is like kind of smitten. At the end of the episode, she sees her maybe dragging something or sees her over in the dark, maybe struggling with something. And she goes over to help her. And it looks like a body bag or something. And that's like the end of the episode. Then we switch it to Aubrey Plaza's view for the second episode. It turns out it's not a body at this particular point, but the second episode's all Aubrey Plaza's point of view. She thinks that Anna Kendrick maybe saw something, or maybe, you know, maybe it is a body and she closes it and that's like the end.
I think it is a body.
But see, I don't, it's kind of how you want to play with it. Like, either Anna Kendrick can't see what she's dragging, just like hear her struggling with it and maybe being like, shit, you know, like screaming off in the distance or something. But anyways, I would do like literally the last 3 or 4 minutes is like her walking up to Aubrey Plaza, seeing Aubrey Plaza as the door's shutting and being like, hey, and then the episode ends. And then the second episode's all from Aubrey Plaza's point of view, because I do think I agree with Danny. If
like
you even
that.
Do two episodes of pure Anna Kendrick, people are just going to think it's a rom-com, and even if you give them tidbits, they're just going to be like, okay, I'm just going to fast forward to the good shit, episode 4, you know? So.
Yeah, no, I really love that second episode being Aubrey Plaza. I also think one thing that would be really important is, like, who is Anna Kendrick's character, and what is her goal? I mean, like, let's say she's a photographer. It turns out that it is a body, but Aubrey Plaza's like, oh, this was for a film that I was doing, and this is like a fake cadaver. Oh, doesn't it look so real? And Anna Kendrick's like, oh my God, I want to use it for my photo shoot. And then she has to figure out how to keep this body from like rotting for the next 24 hours to use in this photo shoot or get a new body.
That kind of reminds me of like Santa Clarita Diet a bit.
I love that. Yeah, okay. I was thinking of like, I like those vibes too. Yeah.
I would. So if you go series and you wanted to continue it beyond a season one, or set it up so that people can think what they want to think about how it ends and everything, Aubrey mm-hmm. Plaza throughout the course could be dating her to kill her. What I think you do is, like, Anna Kendrick is, like, she's doing very well for herself, but at the same time, she's not in the place that she thought she would be. And so
she's settled.
Yeah, she's settled. And so in Aubrey
Plaza.
What's the
movie she did with Blake?
A Simple Favor?
Yeah.
That, like a little bit of a pleaser?
Yeah.
That dynamic I thought was really good between the two of them.
Absolutely. But yeah, the idea that maybe like she could sort of assume that's what Aubrey Plaza's doing. And mm-hmm. Aubrey Plaza still plans to kill her. But instead of Andrew Kendrick's character being worried about it, she's kind of like, how can I use this relationship to my advantage? And like starts mm-hmm. trying to like take it upon herself to kind of make things happen. Like she knows somebody, all the while Aubrey Plaza is still debating whether or not to take Anna Kendrick out. And yeah. then if you want to go with like a happy ending, quote unquote, they could kind of come clean to each other about it. And Thelma and Louise style or whatever you want to do there.
If you wanted to go real dark, a possibility is that Anna Kendrick is suicidal.
I wouldn't like that if you're wanting to lean into this weird cannibalistic journey.
No, but she's like suicidal, and so she's like okay with dying. And then Aubrey Plaza's like going to kill her, and she's like, yeah, do it. And Aubrey Plaza's like, but no, that's not how this works. That's not going to be satisfying to me or whatever. And then, I don't know, I guess Aubrey has to stop Anna Kendrick from killing herself in the heat of the moment. And then, I don't know where they go from there. They become a murdering team.
That's what I mean. You kind of, I like the idea of it either being a film or a mini series, and you leave it very open-ended with that mm-hmm. aspect. Like, dark ending would be that one of them kills the other. The right.
I think dark ending, they kill each other, one kills each other in accident.
Sure. The happier ending is they kind of like are in agreement almost with each other, but then you don't really mm-hmm. know where they go from there.
I also kind of like the idea where Anna Kendrick kills Aubrey Plaza in the end out of self-defense, but somehow Aubrey has like managed to pin every single piece of evidence that she has in the storage locker on Anna Kendrick. So Anna Kendrick is alive Ooh. And survives, but now is framed for every single murder that Aubrey Plaza
so
has done.
So in your mind, Aubrey, this isn't like a mutual relationship. This is like a...
I kind of want Anna Kendrick to be a bit ditzy about it. Like, I want her to be so naive that, like, there's so many of these red flags, but she, like, doesn't ever really pick up on it. And then yeah. towards the end, Anna Kendrick is, like, aware of the situation. Maybe she's, like, trying to hide from Aubrey Plaza, but like maybe she gave Aubrey Plaza keys to her apartment because she was like really excited about the relationship. So now Aubrey could show up whenever she wants. And it's like there's a bit of fear there.
What if she acts really ditzy to get mm-hmm. Aubrey Plaza to like, so for instance, they could be having a conversation and Anna Kendrick's like, my boss is so mean and he's always like touching my thigh. Like he's just such a creep, you know, I can't believe he's so mm-hmm. weird. And then like a week later, she goes to Aubrey Plaza and it's like, my boss like isn't showing up for work. Isn't that super weird? But it turns out like she's been the one pulling the strings on Aubrey Plaza the whole time and getting Aubrey Plaza to like kill people that she wants gone.
I like the accidental killing and then like getting the thing pinned on her. I don't know if I like her being fake ditzy. I think the rom-com is easier with her, like, not faking that. If you go away from rom-com and it's just, like, a drama, then I think it's fine. But, like, if you want the rom-com still in it, like, they need to have some kind of romance there.
I think Anna Kendrick's really just a ditzy, kind of dumb-in-love character. And then Aubrey Plaza pins all this stuff on her. Like, that's a really dark, shitty ending. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, those are my favorite endings, yeah. Brian.
I mean, if you don't want to go that dark, like, fine. I just think it's like, yeah, that's...
I mean, I
always
want to
go that dark. Nobody
dark.
Else does.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it's interesting that you want to go that dark, but you're talking about sellability, and I don't know that that would, like, have as much commercial appeal.
I don't think this project is going to have huge commercial sell.
Concept.
But we haven't got there yet.
The Anna Kendrick character is kind of like a Jigsaw-esque, Dexter-esque Elliot Page in Hard Candy-esque vigilante who tries to like teach people the errors of their ways. And so she's actually trying to trap Aubrey Plaza. So you do have this thing where it's like Anna Kendrick, Aubrey Plaza. We think it's just that they're in love, but Aubrey Plaza is planning to kill her. Anna Kendrick is actually planning to like teach her a lesson by pulling the wool over her eyes a la Hard Candy. Mm-hmm. And then when they get in the moment, it's like they have this big battle to the death. Anna Kendrick accidentally ends up killing Aubrey Plaza, but it turns out that Aubrey Plaza has framed her for all of these murders, and Aubrey Plaza really had the one up the entire time.
So, I mean, do you think it's a romantic comedy now?
No, you're right. I mean, well, was You a romantic comedy? Yes.
Where's the comedy? Where's the romance?
It was a romance. I guess it wasn't a comedy.
Okay.
All right, then let's simplify. I feel like we're trying to add too many elements here.
Running in circles.
Let's simplify. We have...
You have two characters.
Two characters. Storage units next to each other. First episode is Anna Kendrick. Who is she? What is she doing? What is her goal in life?
Well, I think if we're going the dark route, then I think it is that she...
I said simplify, Brian. I know.
Bro.
Brian, why does she have a storage unit?
Well, I mean, she can't afford anything better because she's working at the same job that she's held for like 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. She can't get a promotion because she's overlooked by her boss. Could be a misogynistic thing.
Yeah.
And so it could be like very much like she's a people pleaser and she's too scared to speak out for what she wants. And so she sees Aubrey Plaza, this dark, mysterious person, is intrigued by that.
Concept. She is cleaning out her father's storage unit. Over the course of the series, she finds out that, like, her father is this famous serial killer. Little does she know, she's also right next to this killer.
Trope alert.
Boo.
Trope
alert. Everyone's like,
boo. Trope alert. Trope alert.
I mean, I think, so the dad storage unit is not a bad idea. Like, when I originally pictured it, I was like, okay, I don't know how often she would be at that storage unit. So, like, Aubrey Plaza, I feel like, would be at the storage unit a lot.
Right.
But I think Anna Kendrick would probably only go there occasionally. But the dad thing could be interesting because then it would be like, now she's come into the storage unit for the first time, even though Aubrey Plaza has been there for like years.
Yeah.
And so now she has to go there all the time to deal with all this shit from like her dad. So I feel like that could be a good plot device on like why Anna Kendrick is now at the storage unit all the time and is now seeing this person there all the time.
Yeah. And I mean, what I want to play with is why is Anna Kendrick kind of on to Aubrey Plaza? Like, was her dad a taxidermist? And she has like a little bit of an in on that sort of stuff. And so Aubrey Plaza kind of has to play coy with her even more so than usual because this girl is not going to fall for her normal ruse. Right.
I kind of thought that she was never on to her. Like, she would be telling her friends about what they're doing together because she's super happy and she's, like, really proud of this relationship. And her friends are like, that's a big red flag. What are you talking about? And she's like, no, it's totally fine. Like, that's how I pictured it in my head.
Can she be, like, new to the city or new job, like, works at, like, some kind of magazine or newspaper? And she's, like, definitely not high up, but, like, Aubrey Plaza's character thinks she's maybe writing a story about her. And that's one of the reasons she thinks she's onto it, but she's definitely not. At one point, you could be like, she has this really big story that she's been writing, her friends tell her about, and then Aubrey obviously is way more curious about that, and it's really nothing, but like it makes her think that she's onto her.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think she ever really knows until the end, but we need to have a reason for Aubrey to be like nervous.
I think it was just because now this person is going to be there all the time, and maybe she saw inside the storage unit, and that was like a warning for Aubrey. But I thought like one of the reasons why I think it was like a good idea for Anna Kendrick to like not have a creative job was because like Aubrey Plaza could just say bullshit about the film industry and Anna Kendrick wouldn't know yes or no. You know what I mean? Like there could be things in the storage unit that she'd be like, oh yeah, I need that for this thing. And like if she was like in some kind of creative industry, she would maybe know like, wait, no, that's not what that is. But if she isn't, she'd just believe it and be like, well, yeah, that makes sense. That's what that's for. You know what I mean? Something weird like that.
So from what I'm hearing of this, we're going straight up romantic comedy where it's like one episode Anna Kendrick, one episode Aubrey Plaza. And that's where you get the dichotomy of like, the episode with Anna Kendrick, it's her and her friends, and her friends are telling her that this person is crazy. And meanwhile, the time that she spends with this woman is like reminding me of the song By the Sea from Sweeney Todd, where Helena Bonham Carter is like really cheery and excited to be there. And Johnny Depp is just like straight face, like he's a murderer. He doesn't give a shit. And so those are kind of their dates. And then on the opposite side, the second episode is always Aubrey Plaza planning to kill this woman and like dealing with all of the stuff, and how is she going to get the bodies into the storage unit now that this girl is there? And oh, you know what? It would be just so much easier if I killed her anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think it could be funny too if it was like to bring back Mr. Magoo. If Anna Kendrick somehow like conveniently keeps avoiding Aubrey Plaza's attempts at murder, but like is completely unaware. You know what I mean? Like Aubrey Plaza's like, oh, let's go in this like secluded, like nighttime park event. And then Anna Kendrick's like, yeah, that's perfect. And then they go and there happens to be like a concert that night. It was like, well, obviously I can't kill you now. Like that kind of a thing. That's like where I was that's where some of the comedy I think can come in, where it's just like Aubrey Plaza keeps trying to kill this girl and it's just so inconvenient every single time.
I love that. Okay. So now, again, the question is, how does it end? Does she kill her?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what
I mean, I want her to die.
That's a
I think that it's really funny if Anna Kendrick maybe accidentally kills Aubrey Plaza. Like maybe Anna Kendrick finds everything out. She's really scared, happens to like in self-defense kill her, or like something falls on her head. She bumps into the back of a cabinet and it crushes Aubrey Plaza. And then she's like, oh, my God. But then Aubrey Plaza has already planted all this evidence for Anna Kendrick just in case.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of like,
yeah.
Is there a way that we can push into neither of them die, but Aubrey Plaza gets like almost stuck in a situation where it's like Sweeney Todd, where it's like she needs Anna Kendrick to keep killing?
I mean, I think
because like
it could be something where it's like she needs to kill her because now Anna Kendrick knows too much, even though Anna Kendrick doesn't know anything because she's not really paying attention. But all of her attempts at killing her keep failing. So that's why she keeps going on dates with her to try and
in order to keep trying to kill her. I'm just wondering if like, is there a way for them to end up together?
Yes, of course there is. Look, literally, Killing Eve has the greatest ending of that one, where, like, she literally stabs her. Like, we think they're going to fall in love with her, they stab each other, and they still, like, find a way to, like, come back to each other, because she almost respects her more, because, like, she's willing to kill someone now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, you could literally go down that route, where, like,
she
respects her more, because, oh my god, you're like, you will kill somebody, this is awesome. It's fucked up that it's me.
That's what I was thinking, like, with the taxidermy thing, like, is there a way that Anna Kendrick finds out, and is like, you're totally misusing your talents. Like, sure, you're a psychopath, but my dad has a taxidermy storefront and somebody's going to need to take over. And you could, like, totally have access to all these cool things. You just have to stop killing people and they end up together. I don't know. I'm trying to add more ramen to it. It's not really working, guys.
Listen, I mean, it's a limited series. You're going to be in a writer's room. We're not going to write the whole thing today.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know that. So you could definitely like mix in some comedy plots pretty easily in a limited series like that. Like there's moments to like, there's filler moments. But I mean, you basically like the comedy would be the environments probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it would be the attempted murders.
I think we have the basic premise. Like, I mean, we just needed the like beginning, middle and end.
We have the beginning. We have the middle. We just haven't decided on an end.
Yeah.
You haven't decided. I did.
All right. What was your decision, Justin? We'll just go with yours.
I said she accidentally kills her.
Okay, fine. She accidentally kills her. And then what's the payoff of that? Like, is the police like, oh my God, thank you so much. You captured this murderer. Or are we going super depressing? She gets framed for all the murders.
I think the frame. Because I think, like, if I picture the Mr. Magoo thing where it's like she backs into a cabinet, a weapon from high up falls and crushes Aubrey Plaza. And then now Anna Kendrick has this dead body in this storage unit right next to hers, has all of these things. Obviously, Aubrey Plaza would have been, like, careful about it. So, like, she wouldn't have used a real name. Maybe she, like, changed the name on the storage unit to be Anna Kendrick's name. So, like, they think that now this is her storage unit. You know,
I would love her to accidentally kill her, and then Aubrey Plaza, as she's dying, and be like, fuck you, check the drawer. And, like, literally has all the information that's, like, gonna fuck her over. To me, that's the comedy. It was, like, it's dark comedy, but it's comedy. Like, I mean, like,
I think it's darker to leave her, like, in mourning for 2 or 3 days and then get taken to jail after being in mourning.
Yeah.
Because Anna Kendrick clearly liked this or likes this person. I'm kind of with Danny. I like it, but it's definitely not Rom.
I think when I saw it in my head, I was like, it's Rom from Anna Kendrick's perspective.
Yeah, like End of the Fucking World.
Okay.
Literally, like, he's planning to kill her, and she's, like, not into him, but is trying to convince herself she's into him or whatever. But she's like, you know, the way that he looked at me, blah, blah, blah. And it's very disjointed.
Well, see, the reason I liked End of the Fucking World was because it painted the guy as a psychopath, because that's what he thought he was. He was like, I want to be a killer. I'm right. A psychopath. And then it turns out when that moment arose, like when it happened, he wasn't at all. And it turns out she was actually more of a sociopath than anyone, because she has like an inability to feel emotions. So I thought like that was a really right. interesting twist in that show that I feel like was awesome.
All right. So we got our beginning. We got our middle. We got our end. She definitely kills her and she ends up in jail. The amount of time spent between accidentally killing her and ending up in jail is a toss-up. Mm-hmm. And we'll decide that in the writer's room. But it seems like we got it. Yeah?
Yeah.
Would you watch it? If FX was like coming this summer.
We'll talk about that later.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, hell yeah.
Don't fucking rush this.
Yeah. We'll get into that.
All right, Danny's going to go off into the log line, and we'll be right back. All right, Danny, we'll see you in a bit.
Hey, everyone. Just a quick reminder, as always, that these podcasts are for entertainment purposes only. These ideas are fresh, new, and sometimes submitted by you. Anything said is not meant to infringe on the copyright of any existing work of art, and everything is thought of during this show without any previous influence. If it sounds like something you've already seen or heard, what can I say? That's Hollywood, all out of fresh ideas. Thanks and enjoy.
And we're back. Danny's going to pitch the logline. We're going to go around the room to decide if we're going to save this cat or scratch it. All right, Danny, good luck.
Unit 187 is a dark rom-com limited series. While cleaning out her dead father's storage unit, a young woman falls in love with an enigmatic woman who rents the unit next door. But little does she know, this quote-unquote horror film production designer is actually a serial killer. Bum, bum, bum.
I love it.
Awesome. So now, Sydney, this is the part where we give you our thoughts and let you know if we can see it on screen.
Brian, go. Start us off.
Yeah. I was very, very close to scratching this because I was very much like, there's not any ROM in our mother flipping rom-com. And then I think Sydney said something like, we get the ROM from Anna Kendrick's point of view. And I think that kind of brought it back for me because it is very much going to be a one-sided rom-com. Right. The comedy is going to come from Aubrey Plaza's point of view, like getting rid of these bodies and trying to kill Anna Kendrick. And the rom is going to come from trying to get Aubrey Plaza to open up and taking her out on dates and just being really oblivious to everything because she's so in rom. So I do save it because of that. I do struggle a little bit. Can I see it on screen? I think FX is a good place.
That's what I was going to say.
I do save it, but I do struggle with where I would see it.
But saved.
Saved.
All right. I'll go next. Yeah, I save it. I think that it's a lot of fun. I think that you could maybe go like HBO Max with it. I really like the play of like one episode. And I think you could have it be pretty short. Like, I don't think it needs to be hour long mm-hmm. episodes. I think you could do like 20, 30 minutes. But you could camp it up a little bit and have it be a little bit, I don't know, fun. So yeah, I save it. I mean, especially with stuff like End of the Fucking World being out there. What is the other one? I'm Not Okay With This. I think there is definitely a market for this stuff. I would just proposition that it would be less yellow than those two TV series. Thank you very much.
Wow. Anyways, yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting. I think the platform honestly depends on what actors you get. Like, if you got Anna Kendrick out of Plaza, it's going to be on Netflix. Like, if you got other actors, it might be on a different platform. It might be like Freeform. Who knows? Like, mm-hmm. It just would depend on like the money spent. I think works as a limited series. I think honestly, it probably gets turned into like 3 seasons of a show, and I think it probably should only be 1. But that's how things go. I mean, that's money. Yeah, I think it. I save it, but I think it honestly will break down to who is casted.
Yeah.
All right, Sydney. It's now your turn. You have to tell us whether or not you save the cat or scratch it.
I mean, I love this cat. This cat is my baby. Obviously I save my cat. I think it would be a lot of fun. And I think maybe I tainted the original concept by putting out Aubrey and Anna Kendrick in your brains. But I think that that works as a good reference for who would be in those roles. But I could see anyone with those vibes playing that. And yeah. I love it when like I don't know any actors in a show. Like, I love it when I don't recognize anyone. So I think as long as the vibes work, then it could be anyone. I definitely like 1000% was like, this is an FX show. But I mean, Santa Clarita Diet was Netflix, so that could be something interesting too. And then I don't know if Peacock would be willing to be this edgy, but I don't know.
Peacock seems really into giving it a season.
Yeah.
And then canceling it and letting it die.
But maybe we want that, right? Because maybe we just want 1 season.
Maybe. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
There we go.
Is Yahoo Perfect. TV still around? Because they were giving everybody a season. Oh, it was.
Yahoo TV?
You don't remember Yahoo TV?
Wait, where was the... No. There was like a show. There was Outer Space. What was Outer Space on?
Yahoo TV.
That was on Yahoo TV? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and Community. They saved Community from NBC and gave it a season.
Wow, you both referenced your favorite shows. That's awesome. Absolute dorks.
Not my favorite show. I don't like it very much.
Speaking of things you don't like very much, now that we have 4 saves for this amazing project, what is everybody watching this week?
I'll get us started. I have actually been watching something this week. I've brought in new material. I've been watching Twin Peaks.
Oh,
I've never seen it before. I'm on like episode 6 of the first season. All I have to say about it is, what the actual fuck? And I'll leave it there.
Yeah.
I figured if I was going to accidentally mix up David Fincher and David Lynch, I might as well watch some David Lynch stuff.
There you go.
So that's where I'm at.
I really, really liked Twin Peaks. It lost me. I never made it to like the movie and the reboot. I've heard both.
There's a movie?
Yeah, there was a movie because they got canceled and people were so mad about trying to figure out what happened that they made a movie to kind of wrap some things up. And then obviously now, I think like a year ago, they went Showtime.
Yeah, Twin Peaks The Return. Oh yeah, Twin Peaks the movie, 1992.
Oh, wow.
Twin Peaks Firewalk with Me.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, and apparently there's something called Twin Peaks The Missing Pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's a 2014 feature-length compilation of deleted and extended scenes from the film.
Oh my God.
Dear God.
I mean, they had a cult following, so like it makes sense.
There we go. All right. Who's next?
I will go next. So last week we had on Tiffany and her What Are You Watching was Raya and the Last Dragon. So on her recommendation, I gave that a watch and I really enjoyed it. It took me a minute to wrap my head around Awkwafina as a dragon because like the voice did not really fit the dragon and it took me a minute to get used to it. But once I did, I really enjoyed it. I really like Awkwafina, so it didn't take that long. But yeah, I thought it was cute. I thought it was good. Definitely don't know that it's like upper echelon level, but I thought it was a very solid watch. So Raya and the Last Dragon.
Cool.
I'm going to pull a Danny. I didn't watch anything, but I did listen to something. One of our friends of the show, Grace, has a show called Tell Me on a Sunday. And she just posted a new episode, which was super amazing and powerful. So you should go check it out. Every Sunday she drops new podcasts.
Cool.
All right. Sydney, what have you been watching?
So I have something that I haven't started watching yet, but I really am planning on doing it this week.
All righty.
Okay.
Sure.
Like, eight people and my mother want me to watch Almost Human with, what's his name? The dude from The Boys. I can't believe I don't know his name.
Carl Urban. And yes, Michael Ealy.
Yes.
It was like one season gone too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. I've heard a lot of good things, and it seems like most of this story was ripped off in the video game Detroit Become Human, mm-hmm. which is like a hugely successful game. And so awesome I was like, game. Well, yeah, no, I loved it. And then my mom, I was telling her about it because I was like, oh, you would love this. And she was like, that sounds like Almost Human. Yeah. Like, she's like, what are you talking about? And I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I should watch it.
What's funny is they even kind of cast somebody like Michael Ealy.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Jesse Williams. he kind of looks and has the same vibe as Michael Ealy. And yeah.
But yeah, that's on my list. Knowing I like put it off, and then once I looked at it was only one season, I was like, oh, I could do this in like 2 days.
Yeah, I loved that show. But Detroit is a beautiful game.
Oh, it's so good. I was almost on the verge of tears at the end. It was so good.
Yeah. It was fun because I was streaming it on Twitch and some friends would watch me and they would be like, I didn't even see this. And I've played the game like four times. So Detroit Become Human is a interactive storytelling game where you basically choose dialogue and you choose choices throughout the game. And it's very story driven, not very action involved or anything like that. But there's branching paths that you can go down and mm-hmm. get completely different moments in the game than other people can get. And so you can play it. I think there's something like 13 different endings alone, not to mention all the different things that can happen on the way towards the endings. So
yeah,
really, really interesting game. And yeah, like I was playing it and people would be like, I didn't even see this. So that's really crazy. So
you can like also kill one of your characters early on and then just never finish their storyline. Like you could just miss out on an entire part of the story because they died too soon, which is, I think, awesome. Okay. It's really good if you're not like a gamer, because it's like it's like an interactive story. So it's perfect if you don't like play games a lot. But it is a great story.
It's funny you say that because Mass Effect Legendary Edition came out mm-hmm. and the Mass Effect series of games are my favorite games of all time. And no spoilers for a 15-year-old game, but if you do things wrong in the first game, you can lose one of the best video game characters of all mm-hmm. time. And all of my friends have been replaying this trilogy because they know that I love it. And they have all lost that character. And I'm like, what are you doing? You have to, like, how do you do this?
Mm-hmm.
I told them I wasn't going to give them any tips or anything on how to play the game. I just wanted them to play it. And one of them's like, hey, how come my soldier lady just shot this guy in the head? I'm like, So, yeah, Detroit kind of has that as well. And they were like, make sure you don't do this because you'll lose out on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun. Awesome. Well, we have four saves for Unit 187. We have Justin listening to Tell Me on a Sunday, Grace Aki's podcast. We have Twin Peaks, Almost Human, and we have Rhea and the Last Dragon. Sydney, thank you so much for coming on. It has been so fun to have you here and to just literally beat around the bush for 2 hours as we try and figure out a title and try and figure out a direction. We are not normally this bad. Justin, no eye rolls.
Justin's like, really?
No, it's been awesome. It's been great. Thank you so much. Tell everybody again what you're up to, where they can find you.
Fuck yeah. Well, thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun. I'm glad this idea had legs, and I'm glad we saved the cat. You can watch my short films at Squib Films and Tiny Terrors Films. You can listen to my podcast at Talkie Horror. And you can watch me play video games at SailorSpooky.tv. All of those are very fun, and it's just lots of me talking. Well, except not the movies. I don't talk in the movies. But you can listen to my brain talk in those movies. That's the best kind.
That's
that's so deep.
Oh yeah, cool. Well, thank you guys so much. It was a blast.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you so much for being here. This was so fun.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was awesome having you. And we can find you online at Crooklyn Cat.
Yes.
And then which one is your cat?
Oh, most yeah, important? My cat, he's at Hyo Benny. So H-A-Y-O-B-E-N-I. Hyo Benny.
Hyo Benny.
at Hi-O Benny.
Go well, give Benny a follow.
You can follow that cat and Can We Save the Cat at Can We Save Pod on Instagram and Twitter, and at Can We Save Podcast on TikTok. You can also follow me, if you want, probably not, at Bredacted.
You can follow me on Instagram at Official Danny Hanks and on Twitter at Danny _ Hanks. Hit me up.
You can follow me at Justin Eugene.
On all platforms.
On all social media platforms. Thank you so much, Sydney. It was awesome having you. Have a great week, everybody.
Toodaloo.
See y'all next week.
Bye.